bless now this day as we gather together, Father, departing from our study in Luke. We come, Father, acknowledging dads, fathers, the position that you've called us to do and to be, and to be, as it were, an example in such a way that you have gifted us as dads to create a home and a family in a very unique way. And I pray, Father, this morning as we look to your word, that our lives, all of our lives, no matter who we might be, would be different and changed and empowered. And Father, today, the confession maybe for some of us, or if not all of us, when we think about Father's Day and fathers as we've lived our lives as children and now we're adults, we ask you, Father, to go before us and today in a very special way, touch us, that, Lord, if there's any area of healing that needs to take place, that you do that. Forgiveness. Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd break through and cause this time to be very precious and special to our soul. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to a special teaching this morning in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, and that's our launch point for this morning as we look to a message entitled, A Father's Reward. A Father's Reward. Pay no attention to the screens this morning. They're not going to see anything on them but my big face. Because, again, we got home yesterday from Israel, and we've had not enough time to communicate to our graphics people, so you just listen in. Get a notebook, piece of paper out there in the seat in front of you and write on it if you would, because I trust, I hope and pray that today's message will speak to you. We're acknowledging the fact that it's Father's Day, and before we jump into that, dads, why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up? We're going to pray for you. If you're a dad, stand up and remain standing, Dad. Just remain standing. There's a lot of dads in here, my goodness. Father, I ask you to bless these men who are standing, and there are those men who, Lord, are still sitting. They haven't had the opportunity, or perhaps, Father, they haven't had the chance, Lord, yet to be fathers. We pray for them too, Lord, that you'd bless their families and their wife and their homes. But Lord God, these that are standing right now, we pray that for each and every one of us, first of all, that we would know the Father of life. That all of us as dads would know that we are marching under a banner, not our own, but of yours. And you've called us as men to be fathers. And so, Lord, I pray that you would anoint each and every one of us. And God, that you'd forgive us also. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings. Lord, we have intended to do the best. We've tried to do the best. We've opened up our mouths to speak good, and sometimes other things come out. And we ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon us. But Lord, this morning, I pray that all of us as men would be changed, encouraged, convicted, strengthened, and blessed because we have come. In Jesus' name, Father, bless these men. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. A father's reward. Since the creation God has made, it is God who has established and defined what a family is in the Bible. You may have your opinion about what a family ought to be. It doesn't matter, quite frankly. God has defined what a family is, and God has selected, not based upon any supernatural powers or any tremendous strength or inherent attributes that a man might have. God has, of his own volition, determined that a man would be a father of a house. And with that comes a tremendous call. God has built the structure that there'd be a husband and wife, and from that union, both body, soul, and spirit, there'd be the fruit of a family, that there would be the development of a home. And remember, because the Bible declares that God invented the family, that it'd be a family brought up understanding the ways of God. Now, I don't know about you. Many of you have been brought up in a Christian home. I was not. There was no Bible in our house. I had no Bible knowledge whatsoever. But God has an amazing way of overcoming in our lives all those things, no matter who you might be. But for those of you who have been brought up in a Christian home, what a great and tremendous foundation that you've had. Some of you are here this morning and you're saying, Jack, I, like you, had no spiritual upbringing whatsoever. I understand that personally. But I also want to confess that God, in his awesome, sovereign intervention in my life, came and became and revealed himself and acknowledged and stated, as it were, when I was 19 years old, when I came to the understanding that the Lord God wants to be my spiritual dad, my father. And as we get into this study this morning, I want you to keep something in mind. In fact, it's something that cannot be denied. God has announced, and Jesus said it in the New Testament, that we are to call God Father. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say, you know, there's a God out there somewhere, and if you try real hard, maybe you'll figure out what he's all about and the character and all that kind of stuff. No, he didn't say that. Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father, which art in heaven. Think about that. Church, is God desiring that we approach him? Yes. Does God announce in the Bible that he wants us to know him? Yes. Isn't Jesus Christ himself, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, isn't the Bible announcing to us even today that he's the mediator between man and God, that God wants us to be linked to him through Christ? Hasn't God written to us the Bible that is without error, faultless? The scriptures, the word of God, to tell us that God loves us? Many of us men have a hard time with that. Dads, listen up. We have a hard time. We would rather have God say to us, because it's more palatable for us, that God likes us. Well, God does like us, but he loves us. And therein is the problem. As we consider our acknowledging of fathers today, I think personally that we as men need to hear from God again. God has announced to us that the position and the place and the call of a father is so unique, but it's very difficult. And today you and I are living in an age where it is reported over 51% of America's families are divided in broken homes. Our culture over the last 30 years, if you tune into any sitcom or movie that's portrayed on the Hollywood screen, makes fathers to look like idiots, makes fathers to look like buffoons. When you watch commercials, my goodness, guys, we don't even know how to buy a car anymore. We go to on the TV advertisements, we go to the store and either our kids are telling us how to buy a car or the wives are telling us how to buy. We don't know nothing about nothing anymore. Men have been duped down into nothing. And so many men have swallowed a new concept of what it is to be a man. Hear me out. I am not some sort of a stereotyped macho maniac. So don't take me wrong on that. But I'm saying this, if a man would be answering the call of a biblical man, what God wants a man to be regarding a man and a father, there would be a tremendous shift in our culture today. Men need to lovingly, firmly rise up and take the role that God has given them. And let me tell you, the wife will love it, the kids will love it, and the culture will be changed by it. Fathers, and what is a father's reward? Number one, consider this, friends, as we look. It is this. A father's reward begins with the role of a father. It is ordained by God. And that role is a specific place. God has called fathers to hold a certain place in the family. And that place is of great honor. Solomon, the great man full of wisdom given to him by God, Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life. Listen to your father who gave you life. You know Bill Cosby, that great 21st century philosopher? I love that guy. You ever see his shtick, his comedy? He's talking about kids. He has a great presentation about talking as kids and family and all that kind of stuff. And he says, he reminds his kids that I am your father. I brought you into the world. And it is certain I can take you out. He would remind them. Bill Cosby, great words. King Solomon makes it very clear. In that announcement, listen to your fathers. Dads, that means we've got something to say. If you and I, like these precious kids we had brought up here this morning, memorizing the Bible, some of them over 80 verses of the Bible memorized. Dads, if we took on more Bible in our lives, we would have something to say to our kids that would change their lives forever. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:11 that God's word does not return void. That is, if we look to our children and feed them the word of God. Look, I know this is going to sound nuts. I mean, I confess, I think it sounds nuts. But the time is now to start implementing things like this. That a father in the house begin to set aside, as it were, an altar. You know, wherever you found Abraham or Isaac, there was an altar. And that altar may be in the living room of your house, maybe the kitchen table, where the father begins to take that role in that place of being a leader. And fathers, listen, we are to give our kids the word of God. And it doesn't have to be some seminary Bible study. It doesn't have to be something radical, so simple. And you'll hear about that as we get into our study. But the role of a father needs to be assumed by fathers. By dads today. We need to step into it. You put on gloves, we put on boots, or whatever we put on our pants. We need to put on that office, that place that God has called us to be as fathers. And I think it's amazing. Again, if God asked us to call him father, then how beautiful it is that our kids could look to us and they ought to be able to relate to us. Just coming back from Israel, all around you hear children, Hebrew children, calling to their parents and calling to their dad. And it's beautiful because you know what you hear them say in Hebrew? They call to their father and they, Abba, Abba. It's just, as a Christian, it reminds you instantly of the relationship that Jesus invited us to know, that we are to call him father, call him Abba. And if you're Italian this morning, I love the Italian. It's Papa, Papa. Makes you hungry and happy at the same time when you... We say dad. I think that's great. God wants you and I to call him dad. That close, intimate relationship. Is God distant and removed from you? Is he someone that you're terrified to approach? Well, listen. Are you and I the type of father that our children are terrified to approach us? Listen, it ought not to be like that. God invites you and I, dad, to come and approach him freely. Through Jesus Christ, and our children should have that same opportunity. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He goes on to say, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Dad, you and I have an amazing place in the lives of our kids. They love us. We are so busy about our business and our work and all the things that we do. Our kids love us. God put it in their hearts to love us. Have you noticed that when you and I have crossed the line, maybe we've said something or we've acted stupid to them, we've done things that are not right. Have you noticed how quick they'll forgive us? They love us. We have a very special place that God has positioned us according to the Bible. In a child's eyes, listen carefully, in a child's eyes, the younger the child, the bigger the eyes regarding this point. In a child's eyes, until that child grows up and begins to put its faith in God above, that child looks to you and I, Dad, as God on this planet. Did you know that? You say, I can't believe you said that. It's true. And I think God engineered it that way. God put it into the heart of a little child to look at you, Dad, and, well, I'll prove it this way. Little kids, little boys, now I don't know what you little girls do, but little boys grow up saying things like this to other little boys. I bet my dad can beat up your dad. No one teaches them that. No parent says, now, when you go to the schoolyard today, you tell them, I can beat their dad up. That's a good way to lose an eye. You know, kids will do that in their awkward silliness. My dad can run faster than your dad. My dad's stronger than your dad. Have you noticed that? We've all done that. My dad this, my dad that. Why? You're like a god in their eyes. Be careful, Dad. You have been given that position by God. You say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, that's your problem. But God has given you that position in the eyes of your kids. And I say this, lovingly take advantage of that incredible pulpit he has given you to your children. You have a tremendous sway over your kids for righteousness. The Bible says in Luke 11:2, Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, pray our Father, introducing us to that closeness. By the way, the California State Database on Criminal Activity shows that children who have their fathers involved in their lives are 87% less likely to end up in jail. Fathers who are involved in their children's lives are 87% less likely to end up in jail. What a great place the Lord has given the father, us dads. Also under this point, it's not only the place, but the influence. A father's influence. You can never underestimate a father's influence. Listen, let's be honest. Every one of us right here, right now, have been influenced by our fathers in our lives. And we're being influenced by our fathers even as I speak now. My dad's long gone, but there's things that in my life come up. There's things that I'm glad about that my dad did. Okay? My dad was a maniac about paying bills before they were due. Did you know that? I mean, of course you didn't know that. I'm telling you that right now. What am I talking about? Jet lag. But I'm really big on that. That's a big deal to me. But my dad was not expressive when it came to his affection. That's something I have to work on. My dad brought home, my dad was never unemployed in all my life. He brought home something for us to, you know, buy food with or whatever. But he didn't talk much. But that's his way of showing his love and his commitment and devotion. There's things that you and I need to learn. We need to glean certain things from our parents. Look, there's things that we need to leave off that we learn from our parents. That's where we have the wonderful opportunity to lean upon the Bible and God's instructions. But we are influencing children, our kids. The Bible says, Solomon wrote, Proverbs 23:26, he says, my son, listen, these are the words of a dad. And by the way, this is not just a dad. This is the richest man in the world at the time. He's the Bill Gates or the Abdullah Laba Haba gasoline guy. Whoever he is, Solomon's the richest guy in the world at the time, powerful man over the kingdoms of Israel. Wisest man in the world. His wisdom was given to him divinely, supernaturally by God. It's legendary. Solomon said to his son, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Isn't that a tremendous word? Son, give me your heart. Oh, dad, you and I not only need to be giving our hearts, as it were, to our fathers, if we still have that opportunity, but your children, dad, your children need to be assisted and helped and allowed to give them your heart. They need to be able to come up and say, dad, can I talk to you? What is it? And they need to be able to talk. Oh, dad, listen. One of the greatest things ever in this world is for you to establish a relationship with your son or daughter. And they have that open door policy where they can come and tell you anything without fear. Why? Because God our Father is like that with us. And children will formulate an opinion as to who or what God is by looking at us dads. And Solomon says, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Now listen, you know, the sayings that go about, people will say, do as I say and not as I do. That's a perfect definition of hypocrisy, by the way. If a father says, what are you doing sleeping around? Well, are you sleeping around? What are you doing drugs, son, daughter? Well, can you live without your drug? They watch, they know everything that you and I do. Are you an encouraging father? Are you a father that somehow communicates and translates some sort of affection and love? Then listen, they're going to know acceptance. They're going to catch that. You and I, the position God has given us, ordained by God, extremely powerful. That's where the world mocks it. My goodness, look at this week in California. Already on the news this morning, not only is the state commencing gay marriages this week, this church has been asked, are you going to start them? The media has called us. Are you going to begin gay marriages this week? We cannot do that. We will not do that. It's against the Bible. God says no to that. In the same week already, this morning, on the Sunday news, there is an attempt to remove Father's Day and call it Parents' Day. Why? Because we need to become a gender-neutral society. Let me tell you something. Look, I am very grateful that God made men and women very different. Okay? There's a reason for it. No society can live. I didn't hear what was said over there. I missed that one. I honestly didn't hear. Huh? Yeah, it's probably a good thing. But I'm grateful. But I'm grateful. But listen, I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just saying, God's the one who says that a man shall leave his mother and a woman leave their home, and they two shall come together and become one flesh, and they'll be joined together. And a family comes from that. That's normal. But now what's normal is abnormal. What's abnormal is now normal. I want you to know, we have been sold a bill of goods that fathers are to somehow be cold and distant and not say anything to their kids, not be too affectionate with your sons or your daughters because maybe somebody might think the wrong thing. You know what? They're going to think the wrong thing no matter what you do. Love your kids. Listen, when your kids come home, tackle them. Throw them on the floor. Wrestle with them. There's nothing more that the young kids love to be wrestled with. They love it. Give them a knucklehead, you know, put them in a headlock. This last week in Israel, went to a friend's house and walked in the door, and the kids came running. They didn't care that some American was there. They could have cared less. They came running, and they grabbed onto their father's legs, and there's a couple boys there and a girl, and the boys are hanging onto the father's legs, and then the father's rubbing them on the head, and the boys punch their dad in the tummy, and the guys just peel off, and they go play. Where they went, I don't know. But you know who hung on and stayed hanging on? The girl. The daughter. She just hung on. And he's talking and he's greeting his wife and he's talking to Lisa and I, and she's hanging right on it. She's got her arms around his waist and she's just being dragged all around. And she had her ear like this on his belly, on his tummy. And listen, I wish I would have taken a picture of that. That's it. Amazing position God has given us, a tremendous place, a great influence. We need to be very careful about that, to love our children. See, Jack, my kids, they don't love me. They don't care about me. Reach out to them. Change all that, Dad. You've got the power. You are their dad. But it's never been right with us. It's never been good. And the home is broken, and the mom has said this. Love conquers a multitude of sins, says the Bible. Love them anyway. Love them. No matter what anybody says, love them. Write them a note. Call them up. Yeah, but it's Father's Day. Aren't they supposed to call me? Don't wait. Life's too short to play those games. Go get them. Love them. By the way, I want to insert this in here. A little fatherly advice from somebody who's not your father. Maybe it's a warning. But we need to really, really realize that when God really defines a man, what a man is, our culture's trying to tell us what a man is. And it's different than what God says a man is. Today, this culture's running around, you know what, having no regard for anybody else's life. Teen pregnancy up all kinds of ways, children being produced out of wedlock or aborted. And listen, a modern day 21st century man thinks that he can just come in like a tomcat, skulking about and impregnate some girl, and off he goes while her life's ruined. Maybe it leads to murder through abortion, but her life will never be the same no matter what happens, and he just goes on his merry way, and guys get together, raise the old Budweiser, or stand in the locker room and declare that they're men. That's not a man. I can't think of a word low enough to describe that kind of man. You say, well, I fathered some kids. You didn't father any kids. You just proved that biology works. Because you can say that you fathered a kid, but until you love a kid and take care of that kid and weep for that kid, and when that kid is sick, you ask God, God, make me sick instead. When that kid's thrown up, you're there mopping it up. You're not a man unless you can do that. Being a man's not getting somebody pregnant. Being a man is being a father to that child and loving that kid and providing for that home. Our culture has lost this. We live a tremendous time, but listen again, God would have us to love and to be an example. Also this, a father's ministry. You say, what? Yeah, father's ministry. Nobody can take the place of a father's ministry. When I say a ministry, I mean that A father has the opportunity to, well, for one, Exodus chapter 24, God told Moses to go down from the mountain and teach the children of Israel his law. Dad, listen, Dad, get up. I mean, don't get up now. Stay seated. But get up to the call that God has asked you to take and begin to teach your kids. You see, I thought that was the school's business. That's not the school's business. You need to prepare your kids for school. You need to prepare your kids for work, for life. Dad, God has put it inside your kid to be taught by you. Take them for a walk. Do you have little ones? Really little ones? Take them on a walk and point out to them bugs, snails. Get a paintbrush. One of the great things for them to study stuff. You got to kind of get down to where that. Get some watercolors, paintbrush. Find a snail. Paint that snail. All kinds of radical, hippie-looking colors. 1960-looking psychedelic snail. That snail has no idea. And you tell your kids, look at this, look at this. And while you're painting the snail and let them paint the snail, they're watching those eyes come out. They're getting to touch it, touch it. Oh, my goodness. You guys, let me tell you something. Your kids will never forget that. Ever. You have a gopher in your backyard? Don't kill it. First, use it. You use the gopher as a little lesson. Come out there and, you know, watch them and the things pushing up in the morning. Get the kids around there. Your kids will never forget that. You've got that power. And then when time comes for you to say to them, listen, Johnny, God loves you. The Bible says so. Look right here. You have built that foundation from looking at ladybugs to snails to now the Word of God. It's absolutely awesome. Teach them, Dad. Exodus 24 says, Psalm 103 says, fathers, have compassion on your children just as the Lord has compassion towards us. Dads are to instruct their kids in compassion. Well, that's weak. Not for a man, it's not. Compassion needs to come from the fathers. What a great thing that would be. It's not weakness. It's a strength. Psalm 103 verse 14 says, for he knows how we are formed and he remembers that we are dust. Treat your kids kindly. Your little guy's not a Stanford graduate yet. He's not an NFL superstar yet. And so what if he never becomes one? Be kind to your kids. See, Jack already knows this. Well, I'm just saying it for me then. We need to be reminded of this. Why? Because God's kind towards us guys. He's kind towards the fathers. And you guys, men, fathers, we have such an amazing position. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, that we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father corrects his own son or his own daughter. I believe strongly in this, that a father has that special position ordained by God to be the corrector, the judge of the family or the kids, so to speak. Mom should not, and my heart goes to single parent homes now where moms are being mom and dad. That's a tough call, man, because moms have been built to comfort and to nurture and to soothe and to, bless the kids after dad's corrected them. But a dad needs to say, Junior, come here. Why did you burn the cat like that? We don't burn cats in this house. And you knew that. I told you not to burn the cat. Okay, and you're in trouble now. Do you know why you're in trouble? Because I burned the cat. Okay, yes. I think, man, I tell you what. Your kid, you see, my kid's going to grow up damaged if I discipline him. Oh, your kid's going to grow up damaged if you don't discipline them. Listen, when a kid knows internally when they've done something wrong, they got to pay. They know it. God wrote it in their heart. Oh, I've done something wrong. And when they can't experience the correction, do you know what they do? They wind up being a guilt-ridden kid. Because the moment a child is corrected, the guilt dissipates. See, you and I have been brought up in a culture where correction is somehow violent or insane. I'm talking to Christians this morning. God's example to us, we need to correct our children just like God corrects us. Most of the time, he gives us a huge kiss, if you think about it. I deserve so much punishment from God. And then God winds up saying, Jack, you know, and did you see, and why did you? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. All right. Come on, let's go take a walk or whatever it is. Grace, kindness, amazing. Point number two this morning, a father's reward. It continues in the investment of a father. A father has the opportunity to invest in a child's life like nobody else. Number one, in the area of development. In the area of development. So many kids today are confused. They don't know if they're male or female, if they should be coming or going, because the home has been so disrupted and so convoluted and inverted. They don't know what. And they don't know how to act like a man. So many girls don't know how to act like a woman. The home is so fragmented. Listen, the development that a father can do in the life of a child. Dad, if you have a little girl, you treat her like a little princess, a little lady. And there's things, listen, this is a terrifying truth. How you treat your daughter, and the way that you treat your daughter, if it's good or bad, she's going to grow up and marry a man so much like you. I wish that's not true, but it is true. Or maybe for your life it's good and we want it to be true. But women will have a tendency, if a woman is abused by her father, she will often gravitate to an abusive relationship with a man. If a man has been abused by his father, he will often gravitate to relationships that are abusive. God breaks that cycle, by the way, through Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. I mean, every one of us can attest to that power of God. But fathers have an amazing power to develop kids. And that's a God-ordained life. Jesus said in John 14, 6 and 7, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying regarding the development of influence, Jesus is saying, if you look at my life, then you understand exactly how the Father is. Wow. That, in a human sense, for us, is what happens. A father will raise up a child by the great power to develop them. Focus on the Family years ago conducted a poll here in America and found out that American fathers devote anywhere from an average of 30 seconds to 3 minutes of direct personal time towards each child per day. 30 seconds to 3 minutes. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but when I read that, my first initial response was, "That's no way." And then I thought, well, wait a minute. What is a normal, you know, when you come home, what's the deal? You come home, hey, how are you? And I thought, face-to-face time with a child. 30 seconds to 3 minutes, face-to-face, undivided time. Think about how long that is in our busy schedule. When was the last time you sat down, undivided time, 3 minutes with your child, with nothing else going around? Listen, husbands and wives need to sit down with undivided attention towards each other's face-to-face for 3 minutes. And I thought about that. I grew up in a non-Christian home, as I told you earlier. There's one thing I just think the world of in my parents raising us up. When it was time for to eat at the table, be it breakfast or dinner, you had to be there. I'm not hungry. Sit down. Yet you had to be there. Now, in my non-Christian home, we talked about, you know, basketball or race cars or men walking on the moon, whatever it was. But there's a powerful thing to that. Now, today, everyone's eating on their own thing, going in their own direction. And if they do show up at the table, they got an iPhone or iPod plugged in, and they're texting, right? That's not allowed anymore. I was in Europe, I mean, in Israel this week, but you're listening to European news from London, and England's going to start cracking down on that. Here's the reason why. The kids have lost all social interactive skills. England's having a big crisis right now because kids cannot make it through an interview for a job. The guy can be an Einstein, but the guy can get an A on a test, but he can't talk. Listen, you are not going to get a job texting your interviewer. Hang on a minute. Families don't talk. I'll text you. Think about it. We laugh, but children, kids, this generation of young people, they've lost the ability to communicate. If that's going on in the business world and in the educational arenas, what's going on in the family? Does the family talk? Father, dad, that is your job to begin to implement that. You need to say, listen, I heard that sermon on Sunday. That's it. We're going to sit down and talk. Now, don't say it like I just said it, but just say, hey, listen, turn off the TV, unplug, take those things out of your head, and I want to know what happened to you today. Oh, dad, you're going to get all that. You got to be tough. Got to go through that. But that's why God invented fireplaces, to throw those kinds of little text phones and all that stuff in there, right? But listen, direct, face communication. And here's a little, maybe bit of advice, I guess. Maybe we can try this. Dads, we need to find out what our kids are interested in. If we're not connecting with them, find out what they're interested in and begin to get interested with them in that thing. You say, well, what is it? What if it is texting? Then you know what you can do? You can text your kid. Hey, show me how to text. How do you move your thumbs or your fingers that fast? Show me how to do that. Oh, Dad, I'm sure. Oh, pfft, all right. Okay? Learn how to do it. And then maybe you can say, you know what? The Bible, we read about God through the Bible, but there's going to come a day when we'll see God face to face. You know, that's going to be kind of cool, because what would be better than texting your friend than to be talking to them face to face? Right? Think about it. It's almost like having a picture. Are you traveling on a journey? Are you on a trip? You have a picture of your husband or your wife. You're 1,000 miles from home. You have the picture in your wallet. You show your coworkers. There he is. There she is. There's my kids. The picture's great, but when you get home and you walk into your living room, I missed you guys so much. Wow, it's great to see you. You look a lot alike. You don't even look at the picture. Why? The real deal's there, man. You don't kiss the picture. You kiss your wife. Tell the kids, hey, you know what? This kind of reminds me of how we pray. When we pray, we're talking to God, but someday we're going to see him face to face. Start interjecting. Start getting involved. Dads, that means we're going to need to turn off some stuff. Basketball, finals, who cares? It was a horrible series anyway. Ridiculous. It's a waste of time. Invest in your kids. It's amazing. Develop them. Secondly, values. You and I are teaching our children values by what you and I hold dear. What values are we communicating to our kids? The values are those things that we invest in. Can our children list the top 5 values of dad's life? What would they be? Think about it. What are the top 5 values that your kids would write down if asked, what is your father most interested in? Would they say me and my sister and my, would they say Titleist and Mercedes, and what would they say? They're going to say something. It's being communicated in their hearts. Do our kids know that we love them and they're the most important, that they're the reasons why we go do what we do? We work the way we work, or we do what we do because we want to bless them and be with them. Values. So very, very important. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9 teaches us about values. To teach, the dad is to teach the children the word of God, says the Lord. Also this, a father's investment in character. Dad's investment in our lives programs us on how to make decisions for the future. We learn from watching our parents and our fathers about how to make decisions. Learned response behavior, it's called. And we do what our fathers have done. You say, well, Jack, I had a very rough upbringing, very bad. I didn't want to go the way that my father took me. I understand that. That's why God's love and grace and power and the word of God is so great. Because that can be so canceled out and redone. And then third and final point, a father's reward is this. It's remembering the love of our fathers. It's remembering the love of our fathers. Now, obviously, this topic is personal, and it's personal for you and for me, and we have our thoughts. I've been wandering and thinking and remembering. But my father never really communicated. The first time in our home that it was ever said, I love you, that only happened after I had become a Christian. I became a Christian, and I bolstered up enough guts to tell my dad, Dad, I love you. You should have seen his face. Looks like he got electrocuted. It was never said in our home. My strong, powerful, authoritative dad turned into a cotton ball when I said, Dad, I love you. He didn't know what to do. Oh, no. But you know what? He never forgot that. And I never forgot that. Look, I'm talking about it now. And it's not on my notes. I just remembered it. So, but God's love and a father's love visits us, doesn't it? We think about things and times. And fathers communicate their love, as I said earlier, in ways that are unique. But guys, we need to walk into and stand in that position that God has given us and reach out beyond ourselves. Make sure our kids know. In whatever way you would ask God, Lord, how do I tell my daughter or my son that I love them? Show me how. Do that thing. Jesus said, I always do those things that pleases my Father. Now that was the absolute most perfect relationship, John 8:29, that the world has ever seen. God the Son and God the Father in perfect harmony. But Jesus said, I do those things that please him. Jesus went on to say in John 17 that God the Father loves him. And that leads us to this motivation. A father's love motivates. A father's love motivates. Jesus said, lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What a wonderful love that is. The motives, a father can communicate motives to a kid and he'll thrive, or the daughter will thrive off of that. I have a tragic story that was told to me not too long ago. A pastor in some other state, big, large church. It's near a capital or the big football, NFL football stadium, and he's got some football players that come to his church. And a couple of years ago, one of his football players that attend his church, all this guy's life, this football player, very famous man, in fact, not too long ago, He set an NFL record for sacks in one game. This guy, every game that would be near the vicinity of where his father lived, he would send his dad tickets and he would say, Dad, will you please come to the game? His dad would never come. Now, this is a giant of a man, defensive tackle, massive, revered and feared. Dad, will you come to my game next week? I wish an NFL superstar would give me tickets like that. One day he got a response back from his dad. I'm coming to the game next week. The guy went nuts. The guy was so excited. This NFL player was so excited. And so knowing that his father was going to come, father came to the game. He saw his father because he knew where the seats were at, saw his dad there at the home field. The guy played his heart out and set a game record in sacks. He sacked the quarterback more than anybody's ever done before. He said that, he told my friend who's a pastor, he said, I was completely empowered over the fact that my dad was watching me for the first time as a pro. He had never come to my games. The crowd began to stand up when it was announced of his, this is whatever number sack, this sets an NFL record. The crowd went nuts. Okay. Everybody was excited. All the ESPN and everybody going to interview the guy. When it's all done, he goes to greet his dad. Now, what do you think his dad said? Good job, son. Awesome. First thing out of his dad's mouth was, how'd you blow that one play? You just blew that one play completely. How could you do that? That was ridiculous. That giant of a man withered into a little broken boy and had to go seek counsel from his pastor. because of the words of a father. Listen, guys, many, many men today cannot be a loving father because they're so hurt themselves, and we need to get over it, guys. One of the greatest things that men look for is affirmation. And America and so many men, even in the church, even in the pulpit, even on the NFL gridiron, men are longing for affirmation from their father. Dad, in the hearing of this message, you affirm your kids. You can motivate your kid by saying, hey, you know what, son? Go for it. You can do it. I'm going to be there. Hey, win or lose, dude, I'm coming to the game. I'll see you after the game. You can do it. Listen, you are an NFL superstar to me, boy, no matter what happens. Hey, little princess, you know what? You have got, the day you came out, you had my heart. You go and you do and leave the rest to God. I love you, sweetie. Nothing will ever change. Affirm them. You must affirm them. And you can change the world by loving one of your kids like that. They need affirmation. We all need affirmation. And I end with this. A father's love speaks to us even now. Maybe you're even old now and you can hear your father who's long gone. And those words that he spoke to you, son, sweetheart, daughter, you can do anything. I believe in you. Jesus said, well, actually, it's not what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist. The heavens opened up, and a word came from heaven, from his Father, and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then Jesus arose and went into the wilderness and was tempted by Satan for 40 days. I don't think that's a coincidence. The Father from heaven spoke to his Son and said, this is my beloved Son. Spoke to the whole crowd. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus met Satan face to face. I think there's a connection to that. I think if we begin to affirm our daughters and our sons, I think they can get up and leave this place, leave our house, leave whatever we're doing with them. They can get up and they can go. We've prepared them and we can say to them, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. And she can leave the confines of our living room and go out there and not be a victim, but be a victor. Because she knows she's got her dad behind her. A son can get out there and say, hey, listen, this is the way and whatever. And they can be leaders because they can hear the voice of their father. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Speak to them. We're all done. Lisa's dad was a very quiet man. He was a rocket scientist, for real. Brilliant man. Very quiet. Too quiet for me, but... because you never know what he was thinking. So how are you doing? What's up? What's going on? What's going on at the rocket laboratory there? Rockets. Are they big rockets? Are they little rockets? You know? Talk to me. Very quiet guy, but you know what? He showed his love in other ways. And what is it with you? Her kids, I mean, Lisa's family, those kids never doubted their father's love. But how do you speak to your kids? See, it doesn't have to be, hey, I love you, I love you, I love you. You don't have to say it all the time. But find out. Listen, Jesus died for our sins, you guys. Jesus died for our sins, not our personalities. Are you quiet? Then you're a quiet guy. Find out how you can communicate that you love them. Make their sandwich or wash their car or, I don't know, buy your daughter a perfume thing or something. I don't know. Find out. Study them and know it. Each and every one of us guys who stood up a moment ago as dads, we've got some work to do. Because you know what? You are heroes in your kids' eyes. You say, not my kid. My kid can't stand me. Listen, your kid wants you to be the hero in their eyes. And God has ordained you and I, Dad, in an incredible place. It's kind of terrifying, actually, but I wouldn't change it for the world. Father, we pray this morning that we as fathers, as dads, would experience a divine revelation of being able to read our kids while we have the time. And the time is not so much their age or where they're at in life. It's our time. For no matter how young or old we may be as dads today, we can announce to our children we love them by changing their diaper or picking up the phone. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that today your love, first of all, preeminently would be received, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I pray, Father, now in Jesus' name, that if there's a father or a mother, anyone here, single person, divided home, I don't know, you know, Lord, that there's someone today saying, I need this God of love in my life. My friend, whoever you are right now, right where you're at, you say to him, Lord, forgive me. Fix my life. Jesus, I'm calling out to you. I want to know the love of the Father. And I want to be a new man. God's way. And that goes for any of us today. Ladies, young people, you tell God right now in your own beautiful little words that are from your heart, Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross and being risen from the dead. I come to you now. Father, bless these in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, let's stand together if you would. And if today you made that decision.